Okay, Parshas Noach. I always feel bad. You know, Noach is an Ish Tzadik. How many people in the Torah called Ish Tzadik Tamim? Ish Tzadik Tamim. But we have to, and I'm going to try today, in a gentle way, to try to learn from some of the mistakes of Noach. I always feel very guilty about, you know, picking on Noach. This is a Tzadik. There's not too many people in the Torah called a Tzadik and a Tamim. And in fact, if you look in Rashi, when Rashi uses the famous expression, Yesh Darshim L'Shevach, Yesh Darshim L'Gnai, some people see Noach in a positive light, some people see Noach in a negative light. One of the tzaddikim pointed out that if you look at the Rashi carefully, it says, Yesh Me Rabosenu Darshim Oso L'Shevach, V'Yesh Darshim Oso L'Gnai. Meaning what? I mean, our rabbis, Yesh Me Rabosenu, from amongst our rabbis, we see the positive of Noach. V'yesh, and some others, see the negativity of Noach. So I'll be stripped of my rabbinic title today, and see the negative of Noach. But it's for the purpose, of course, of learning from it. And if the Torah points out, and if Chazal point out some of the mistakes of Noach, it's not with any disrespect, Chas V'Shalom, to someone who's called an Ish Tzadik Tamim, but it's simply with the hope that we can learn something from Noach's mistake. One of the big mistakes of Noach that the Zohar identifies in source number 2, but first the pasuk that it's based upon, is that Noach failed to daven for the people. Noach did not daven for his generation. So much so that the Navi Yeshayah calls the waters of the Mabul the main Noach. The waters of Noach. Noach, the waters of Noach. He's the tzaddik. He survived. He's the one who built the Teva. Noach's the good guy. Why are the waters, the destructive waters, called the main Noach? What the Navi is hinting to, and so many Sfarim explain, is that Noach wasn't perfect. He was far from perfect. And Noach saved himself, and he didn't save others. Says the pasuk in source number 1, Vayiyu b'nei Noach hayotzim min ha-teiva, shem cham v'yafas, v'cham hu avi kanan, shlosha eila b'nei Noach, these are the 3 children of Noach, and from them the world continued to sprout. Noach comes out of the teiva. And what happens when Noach emerges from the teiva? Pasuk chaf, v'yachel Noach isha adama v'yita karim. Vayachel Noach ish ha'adama. Rashi says, Vayachel osa atzmo chulin. He acted in a way that made himself profane, mundane. He didn't act holy. The ish tzadik tamim, having just survived an unbelievable cataclysmic series of events, that Noach should come out of the teva and he should make himself chulin, that he should start off in the wrong way, is a terrible tragedy. And what was the tragedy? What did he do wrong? Vayita karem, he planted a vineyard. Says Rashi, Noach made himself chulin by planting a vineyard, by producing grapes, by producing wine. Noach got drunk. Noach, what's happening to you? You're a tzaddik. What happened to you? Says Rashi, why would you start with a vineyard? Of all the things to plant, you start with grapes? Don't you know that can get you into trouble? Now the truth is, the Sfas Emes is a very interesting take on Noach's drunkenness. Because how could it be, it's such a pella, it's such a wonder to us, how could it be that someone who's described as a tzaddik, having just been plucked from the raging waters of the Mabul by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, having survived that experience, how could it be that Noach becomes a drunken person? How could such a thing be? So the Sfas Emes and others explain, Rabbi Abraham Tversky, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky likes to quote this, because you can see it's a tremendous psychological insight. Noach didn't understand that the world had changed. Noach knew how much wine he drank before the Mabul and how much wine he continued to drink after the Mabul. But Noach didn't understand that the world had undergone a transformation, that maybe what once upon a time would have been a normal and appropriate amount of wine for Noach to drink with his dinner, all of a sudden became the type of wine that would make Noach into a drunk, into a person, asa atzmo chulin. So Noach understood how much wine he was drinking. He didn't lose sight of how much he was drinking. What he didn't understand was that after the Mabul, the world wasn't the same place. And what was a couple of drinks in the pre-Mabul world was drunken behavior and terrible shame and embarrassment in the post-Mabul world. Noach didn't understand that the world had changed. It's a very important insight to realize that a person has to live with the times. What might have been okay once upon a time may not be okay given the realities of our world today. And there's many applications that you could think about in terms of that. But says Rashi, Vayachel Noach Isha Adama, Noach made himself chulin. What was the crime of Noach? He drank wine. Okay, he became drunk. That's the Pashup Shah. That's Rashi. Says the Zohar in source number 2. Mikan Amar Rabbi Yossi. It's Zohar actually in Parshas Vayikra of all places. What does it mean? May dechsiv v'yachel Noach ish ha'adama. They're calling him an ish ha'adama, a person of the earth. He's not so holy anymore. He's become a little bit more mundane, a little bit more earthly. Says the Zohar, v'yachel. The word v'yachel is similar to what we find in Bamidbar Perek Lamed. Lo yachel devaro. When the Torah describes the importance of keeping one's vows, the Torah says, lo yachel devaro. Don't profane, don't desecrate, don't take your own words not seriously. If you make a commitment, go through with it. Yachel means to defile. So vayachel Noach, Noach defiled himself. The is avid chol, says the Zohar, exactly like Rashi. Is avid chol, he made himself chol, he made himself plain and regular. He wasn't the tzaddik that he was perhaps once was. Ish ha'adama, says the Zohar, ish ha'adama, the man of the earth, de beginei ishtatziu b'nei alma, that because of Noach the world would suffer, the world did suffer, de lo ba, look at these words, last four words, de lo ba rachame alayhu. De lo ba, he did not request rachame, mercy alayhu upon them. Noach didn't daven for them. Noach saw the world falling apart, and Noach said, whatever, the world will fall apart. I'm building myself a boat, and I'm finding my way to safety. And the Zohar is critical of Noah. How could it be? He didn't daven. The Kedushas Levi, Levi Tzibur Ditchev in this week's Parsha, talks about this. How could it be? Why didn't Noah daven? Why didn't Noah daven? The Berditchever says because Noah didn't believe in himself. But we're going to learn something different today. It was a different problem with Noah. Why didn't he daven for the people? How did Noah see himself in his Avodas Hashem? And again, what's the lesson? What's the takeaway for each and every one of us? So I want to learn an approach based on the writings of Rav Shimshon Pinkus in the Teferes Shimshon, in his writings on Chumash. And Rav Pinkus introduces it by pointing to a Maimer Chazal that appears two places in the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos uses the following phrase. It doesn't matter right now what the context is. It's important, but for our sake, just look what the Gemara says about a person who performs a particular mitzvah. Says the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, source number 3, if you serve Hashem in a significant way, and the Gemara gives again multiple examples of mitzvahs that, so to speak, meet this criteria, and I don't want to get into the specifics, because you're going to ask, why is this mitzvah described in this way? It's a fair question. But says the Gemara in Shabbos, there are certain things, in several places, there are certain things that if you do for Hashem, or better said, if you do with Hashem, Male alav hakasuv, we equate such an act, the Torah considers it, ke'ilu nase shutaf la'kudosh baruch hu b'maisa bereishis. You become a shutaf. What's a shutaf? A partner. By doing this particular mitzvah, this aspect of Avodas Hashem, by emphasizing it, by doing it, by connecting to it, you become a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. Rav Pinkus says that's an amazing praise of a person. You're Hashem's partner? Let's ask ourselves, before we get into this, let's ask ourselves honestly for a second. Do we see ourselves as Jews, as human beings, trying to make a difference in the world? Do we see ourselves enough like partners with Hashem? Or perhaps more likely, do we see ourselves as workers for Hashem? And there's a big difference. There are several big differences. Rav Pinkus says there's a madrega called being a shutaf la'kadosh baruch hu b'maisa bereishis, a partner with Hashem, a partner, a shareholder, someone who's part, who makes decisions in the corporation. Says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, let's learn it inside source number 4, from the Teferes Shimshon on page 98 and 99. Hine yeshno hevdel yesodi bein poel she'oved be'esek shel acherim. There's a big difference between a poel, an employee, who works for others. It's not your business. You don't own the business. You don't make the big decisions. You don't sit at the intimate private board meetings with the heads of the company. You're a worker. You do your job. You get your paycheck. Maybe the business is thriving. Maybe it's falling apart. But at the end of the day, there are people who are what? Who are just workers. Who are working for others. You're an employee by an employer. There's a big difference, as Rav Shimshon Pinkus, between someone who works for someone, Levein Mishu Shutaf Boso Esek, as opposed to a partner in the business. What's the difference, says Rav Pinkus? Lepoel ein koach l'shanos dvarim o livnos u'lachriv chalakim me'esa. A person who's just a poel, who's just a simple worker, doesn't have the ability to change company policy, doesn't have the ability to build or to destroy the business. They do their job, whatever the boss tells them to do. It's not going to be on their head if the business takes off or if it falls apart, because they're not calling the shots. But a partner has the ability to really, be'emes, in a real way, to transform the business. And also to make the types of decisions that will destroy the business. He has the authority and the ability to make decisions just like the owner, just like the balabais, just like the head of household. He's in charge. And therefore, says Rosh Shimshon Pinkus in the second paragraph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasalanu shutvis besocha olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an unbelievable deal with Klal Yisrael. When we stood at Har Sinai under the mountain, receiving the Torah, we weren't just becoming the workers of Hashem, we were joining a partnership. It was a marriage. The image of Kaf Aleihem Har Kigigas, the mountain over our head, according to at least one strand of thought in Chazal, is a chuppah. We married Hashem at Har Sinai. Husband and wife is not a business. They work side by side. They work together. It's a true partnership. I was here this past Shabbos. I was here in Stern. Maybe some of you were here. Some of you are here. Some of you are not. And Rabbi Bernstein gave an amazing drasha on Shabbos. And one of the ideas that he shared an amazing insight from Rav Soloveitchik. That the Rav said, on the words, when Hashem finishes creating, Vayechal Elokim, Vayom Hashvi, when Hashem finishes, Mikom Malachto, Hashem finishes His avoda. Rav Soloveitchik, and I can't do it obviously in Rav Soloveitchik language because no one can do it in Rav Soloveitchik language. I don't have the sefer here. But if you look in the Rav Soloveitchik Chumash, the Mesoras HaRav Chumash, I don't even know where the passage was selected from, where else in the writings of Rav Soloveitchik. But to say it in layman's terms, the Rav said, when Hashem finished creating, that doesn't mean that creation was finished. There's a partnership. Hashem says, Vayechal Elokim Mikom Malachto. Hashem finished His part. I gave you the infrastructure. I gave you the framework. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to us, to humanity, Befrat, the Klal Yisrael, and Hashem says, okay, now it's your turn to build. Now it's your turn to create. There's a partnership. Hashem says, I finished my part. On Shabbos, I'm done. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving over the keys, so to speak, of the world to you. I want you to build the world. I want you to improve the world. I want you to see yourself as a partner in my Bereishis, as a partner with me in the creation of the world. One of the young women who was here over Shabbos shared, I'm forgetting her name at the moment, she might be in the room, I don't think she's in the room. She shared an amazing insight afterwards with Rabbi Bernstein and myself. If you look in the Meshech Chachma, in Parsha Shlach, the Meshech Chachma says, it's a long piece, he has a lot of things that he says there. But he says an unbelievable explanation of the mitzvah of tzitzis, a new understanding of the mitzvah of tzitzis. When you look at the tzitzis, what do you see very simply? You see knots, and you see the winds, right? And then you see the loose strings hanging down at the end. What's the image of the tzitzis? What do the tzitzis represent? The tzitzis also represent this partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi Chachma says an amazing thing. He says, the knots, there are parts that are tied together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, tied those parts together. And there are parts, there's the revolutions, as you wrap the strings around, tcheles or not, depending how you, whatever, however you make your tzitzis, right? But the tzitzis has these revolutions, these winding wrappings of the string, of the longer strings. Right? So there's the parts that are being spun, so to speak, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a world that's spinning at the hand of Hashem. And there's parts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tied together. Hashem tied together the pieces for us. But then there's also the loose strings at the end. What are the extra strings, so to speak, represent? Why not just snip it off? Tie it up at the bottom and just cut off the extra strings at the bottom. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, He left us some room to continue the work. Hashem says, I tied together certain parts of creation, of reality, and I wound certain things into their place. I put things into motion, the revolutions of the world. But there's also the parts, there's the loose strings at the end that Hashem says, I'm handing that over to you. I want you to be my partner. And again, to help me to continue to build. So says Rosh Shimshon Pinkus, there's a partnership with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. There's a shutvis besocha olam. Shema'aseinu yikvau es ha-metzias. That our actions shape reality. Ha-chodesh hazel lachem. The first mitzvah the Jewish people received upon leaving Mitzrayim, as a people. Hashem put us in charge of time. Do you understand what that means? We look up at the sky. Today we have a calendar. But when Klal Yisrael able to function in Eretz Yisrael with a Beis Din, with a Sanhedrin, with a Beis HaMikdash, in the ideal model of how time operates, we control time. We come to Beis Din and we say, this is what we saw. I saw the moon, it was in this position, it was in that position. And Beis Din will decide, Mikudash, Mikudash. Mikudash, we sanctify the new moon. Today is Rosh Chodesh, today is not Rosh Chodesh. So you have to think about on Rosh Chodesh itself. And if Beis Din decides it's not today, it's tomorrow, so that shifts the whole calendar. That changes the date of Yom Kippur, and that changes the date of Pesach, and it changes the date of everything. And so to speak, the spiritual energy of Yom Kippur and Pesach is determined by us. Mikadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. That's a partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are koveya reality. We shape the metzias of the world. So says Rav Pinkus, that comes about through our partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Specifically, he says, be'ikar al yedei Torah. Through the power of Torah is the way, is the means by which we partner with Hashem. The more Torah power we have, the more mitzvos we have, the more kedusha we have, the more powerful our tefillos become, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsive to our votes. We get a say, so to speak, in how Hashem runs the world. But continues Rav Pinkus, he says there's a second aspect to the partnership with creation. It's not just voting rights, it's not the ability to manipulate time and to be owners over the natural order of the world, which is subservient in a certain way to the order of Torah. Says Rav Pinkus right below the line, Hevdel yisodi nosaf bein poel l'shutafu. But there's another difference between what? A worker and a partner. She'lepoel be'etzem lo ichbas makora be'esek. If you just see yourself, and this is very important in how do you see your Yiddishkeit. If you see yourself as a worker for Hashem, the way you work is going to be very different. Whether you take your mitzvah seriously or not, or you're learning seriously or not, or your chesed seriously or not, it's going to be very different. You know why? Because a worker is only so invested in the company. A partner, this is my life. If the company goes under, my life falls apart. Now it's true, you could say, well, the worker, if the company is doing poorly, could lose his job. That's true. But he's not the one who put up millions of dollars to get this company off the ground. And he's not the one who has his name at the head of the stationery. And he's not the one who's going to have to undergo the embarrassment of filing for bankruptcy. Right? So yes, of course, the success of the company might dictate he makes a little more money, he gets a raise, he gets a bonus. But he's not invested the same way that an owner is. A poel be'etzem lo ichbas makor be'esek. The poel doesn't really care what happens to the business on some level. Who oved es avodaso, he does his job, makablas miskoras, he gets his paycheck. Hamagia lo lefi avodaso, he cashes in on his paycheck. Says Rav Pinkus, continuing in the next paragraph, balu'u mazos etzel shutaf, but by a partner, hamatzav shone lechlutin. It's a totally different calculation. It's a totally different experience when you're partnering in the business. You have to do whatever it takes. You can't say 9 to 5, I punch in, I punch out. If there's a problem, you're up all night, and you're dealing with it, and you're strategizing, and you're figuring out, how are we going to save the business? It matters to you. If the business is failing, then your life starts to fall apart. You're failing. Kishaesek b'shofel, when the business is down, gam hu sovel mikach. You feel it. It's part of you. Lefam kishaesek b'matzav mamish kasheh, when the business is in the worst of situations, dire straits, hu alul lisvol cherpas rav. He feels the unbelievable weightiness of the business collapsing. That becomes his reality. And therefore, says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, turn the page. Says Rav Shimshon Pinkus on the top of page 2. Now we can begin to understand what happened with Noach. How did Noach see himself? Part of the tragedy of Noach is Noach didn't understand, and especially given his circumstance, he really was a partner. He was Hashem's only partner. We could sometimes say, well, Hashem's partner, maybe the partners of Hashem, I don't know, the Gedolei Ador, the great tzaddikim and righteous women of history. I'm a regular Jew, so I work for Hashem. I'm an Eved Hashem, I'm a worker for Hashem. It's a madrega. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Eved Hashem. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko ki Eved ne'eman karasa. It's good to be an Eved Hashem. It's a very high level. But Noach, you're more than an Eved Hashem, you're a partner. And if you're a partner, that means if the business is collapsing, you have to do whatever you can do. You can't say, well, whatever, you know. I'm a good person, I have a right to survive, I'll enter my boat, and that's it. Says Rav Pinkus, Me'ata Navin, Bipnei Ma Be'emes Lo Ispal Noach HaBnei Doro. Again, it's still hard for us to understand, it doesn't fully explain it. But on some level, if the Zohar tells us, Vayachal, Noach made himself chulin, not just that he became drunk, but he stopped caring about his generation. He didn't daven for the people. And we want to assume that Noach's a good guy. He simply felt, who am I to have a say in this? If God decided he's going to destroy the world, I'm not, who am I to cast a vote? But that's only because he saw himself as an Eved, as a Poel. He didn't see himself as a Shutaf. Shekei Noach hechshiv es atzmo b'chinas Poel. Noach saw himself as a worker. Memela hadavar lo ka'evlo. It didn't pain him in the same way that it should. Who is an example of a Shutaf with the Kodesh Baruch? Noach was a Poel. A very good Poel. He listened to God. He did what he was told to do. But he didn't think that he could save the world. Because he didn't see himself as a partner with the Kodesh Baruch. Who's someone who we see as a partner with Hashem to such a degree that not only can this person raise his hand and say, I'd like to make a comment, I'd like to cast my vote, I'd like to offer a suggestion, but that Hashem feels an obligation, kiviyachol, to talk to him and to sign off with him. Are you okay with this idea? I just want to let you know what I'm thinking about doing in terms of our company. I'm about to make a big move. I just want to make sure that you're okay with it. Who am I referring to? Avram Avinu. And we're holding in the parashos of Noach, and very soon we'll be entering into the world of Avram Avinu. Says Rav Pinkus in the second to last paragraph in his writings here. Le'umas zos hanhagas Avram Avinu lo haisakach. Avram, who spread Yiddishkeit to the world, who discovered, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who rejected the Avodah Zarah of his father's home and his society. Avram didn't see things that way. By the bris bein habesarim, Hashem says to Avram, I want to keep you informed. I'm giving you a company update. Do you have anything to say? I want to let you know that I'm thinking about Golus. Hashem maybe was thinking about Golus Mitzrayim, or maybe somewhere else. Doesn't specify it was going to be in Mitzrayim. The Jews are going to be strangers in a land that's not their own. But Hashem says, you know, we're partners, we have a bris. It's a bris bein habesarim. I can't hide information from you at this point. You have access to the most secret documents in the company. Kevin shekarasnu bris v'in chashuta v'esek. We made a covenant. We made a deal. 50-50, we're partners. Dalachasha esek ho lech lichanes l'kashim. I just want to keep you posted. There's going to be a dark time for our business. There's going to be a Holocaust. There's going to be pogroms. There's going to be Golus Mitzrayim. There's going to be some hard times, Avram, and I want you just to understand, as we go 50-50 on this business, I just want you to know the realities. There's going to be some really awesome times. There's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. There's going to be Malchus in Yisrael. There's going to be Kabbalah Satorah. There's going to be Mashiach eventually. But I want to know, are you committed to the business? Are you prepared to go through the ups and downs side by side? Kisha Esek Yeh B'Shofel, when the business is down, Gam Ata Tisbol Mikach. It's going to be painful for you. Are you prepared to be my partner? Zelohaya tanai bebris. Elizeo achefsa shalashutfis. This was not just a mere condition in the covenant, but this was the partnership. This was the terms that Hashem says, Avram, this is not an afterthought. This is what our relationship is going to be. Sticking with each other side by side, through and through. Are you prepared to go all out for me? Are you prepared to help me spread the business? Not just to be Yotze. How many Jews want to just be Yotze? I have to do, this is my obligation, that's all, check. Hashem says, that's not how a partner works. A partner is creative about the business. A partner feels an obligation to expand the business as much as he can or she can. That's the nature of a partnership. Today is Aleph Cheshvan. Today is Aleph Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Gimel Cheshvan, in a couple days from now, Gimel Cheshvan is the yard site of Rav Yisrael of Rizhin. Rav Yisrael of Rizhin, the Rizhner, the Heilige Rizhner, as he was referred to. Rav Yisrael Friedman was his last name. Left this world in 1850. Many Hasidic branches emerged from amongst his children. He was the only Rebbe of Rizhin. There's no Rizhner Hasidim today. But there are many other branches of Hasidus that you've heard of, which were the children. He had six sons. Each one became their own branch of Hasidus. A tremendous tzaddik. The Rizhner had an amazing insight into a pasuk in Parshas Vayigash. In Parshas Vayigash, when Yosef contacts his father, he's been away from his father for a long time, and he reaches out to his father and he says, Dad, I want you to know, I'm making it. He sends a message, you should tell my father, Samani Elokim le'adon l'chol Mitzrayim. Hashem has made me dominant in Mitzrayim. Samani Elokim, God has placed me, Samani, with a sin, Samani Elokim, God has placed me as Adon L'chol Mitzrayim. I've reached the upper echelons of the cabinet of Paro. I'm second in command. I'm Mishnah L'melech. I'm doing great. Very successful. That's the Pashup Pshat. You should know, I'm successful in Mitzrayim. You thought I was dead. Not only am I not dead, I'm out there and I'm, you know, climbing the ranks in government. As if that was Yaakov's hope for his kolel son, Yosef, who sat by his side learning Torah. Right, he finds out that he's a big hotshot politician. Okay, that's a Yosef's message. Samani, the Pashup Pshat. Samani Elokim L'adon L'chol Mitzrayim. Very successful. God has made me very successful in Mitzrayim. What's so good about that? I don't know, he still said Elohim, he still believes in God, stayed firm in Mitzrayim, you know? A very secular college campus called Mitzrayim. Yosef is still a religious person, that's good news. The Rishon had a different shot. Rabbi Yisrael of Rishon said, and it's obviously not exactly grammatically correct, like many Chassidish Vartlach, but it reveals the deeper intent of the Torah. Samani Elokim could also be understood, says the Rizr. Samani Elokim. I have placed Elokim as Adon L'chol Mitzrayim. Dad, good news. Yaakov, I have good news. In case you think, you know, I'm just kind of sitting in my own corner trying to stay religious, not at all. Samani Elokim. I have placed Elokim as Adon L'chol Mitzrayim. I taught these Egyptians about the God, the true God, the Jewish God. I taught them about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef, who went always with Baruch Hashem on his lips, like Rashi points out earlier, even in the harshest times. Yosef, who's sitting in a dungeon and interpreting dreams and says, it's not me, it's God. So Yosef sends a great report to his father. Samani Elokim L'adon L'chol Mitzrayim. And you know why Yosef lived that way? Because he was a shutaf, he was a partner. He was a partner with Hashem. It's not just about protecting myself, I got to get the word out, I got to grow the business. So Yosef in Mitzrayim, a rather unholy place, Erevas Ha'aretz, as it's known elsewhere in Tanakh, Yosef says, Yaakov, I've got good news. Samani Elokim, I've made God prominent in Mitzrayim. Hashem has a place in Mitzrayim, you should be really proud. Ad kan the words of the Rishon. But Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi, took this Vart one step further. In the Sefer Imrei Das, he has an amazing, because what happens when Yaakov and Yosef meet up for that first time? A scene that emotionally is hard for us to understand. They embrace, they're hugging. Yosef is crying, I haven't seen my father in so many years. And Yaakov, right? Instead of hugging and kissing, what's Yaakov doing? What does Rashi say? He's reciting Shema. Imagine, they've been apart for more than 20 years. Yosef jumps into his father's arms, cue up like the nice music in the background. He runs into his father's arms. His father's like, hold on a second, I have to just daven. Give me a second. Just give me a minute. What's going on? There's a lot to think about in that unusual scene. But says Rav Meir Shapiro, you know what Yaakov was saying, Shema Yisrael? He was responding to Yosef. You sent me a letter that you made God, you've grown the business, you've made God prominent in Mitzrayim. Guess what? I've got some news for you. We still got some work to do. I'm not going to rest, says Yaakov. I'm a partner to such a degree that what? I'm not going to rest until Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, until the whole world recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yosef, I'm happy. The business is doing well. We have a new branch in Mitzrayim. That's great. A new place for monotheism in Mitzrayim. That's gevaldik. But we got to keep going. Because until the whole world recognizes the Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's work to be done. That's the attitude of a partner. That's not a worker. That's a partner. Avram Avinu was a partner. And therefore Hashem says by the Bris Bein HaBasarim, I got to give you all the information. I'm letting you know the Jewish people are going to have some ups, some downs. The business is going to be a complicated business. But it's the greatest business that ever was and ever will be. Concludes Rav Pinkus in the final paragraph, source number 4. Lachain lifnei shenigash HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hachriv Sodom. Not only are we going to read about Avram's partnership by the Bris Bein HaBasarim, where God discusses the ups and downs of the business with him, but before HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to destroy Sodom, Hashem feels an obligation. Can you imagine? HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels an obligation to a baser v'dam, to a human being of flesh and blood, to say, Avram, I got to just let you know what the plan is here. HaMechaseh ani me'Avram? Could I hide information from Avram? Can I not inform Avram what's happening in Sodom? I gotta give him the update. I'm about to overturn Sodom. Alai lehodia lo she'ani holeich lahachriv Sodom. Ki hu shutaf. I have to give him the information. He's my partner. I can't hide any information. V'achein Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu, of course, on the receiving end, being a partner, Avram Avinu begins to cast his votes. Now, in the end, Sodom is destroyed because God, being the president of the company, has veto power. So Hashem doesn't always have to accept your suggestion. But Avram understands full well, I have a lot of room to negotiate here. Maybe there are 50, maybe there are 40, maybe there are 30, maybe there are 10. Avram negotiates with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he feels entitled to have a say. Again, Hashem will make the final call. But Avram knows that he has a say because he sees himself as a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore concludes Rav Pinkus, again, like I mentioned at the beginning, that's why the Navi refers to the waters of Noach as the Mei Noach. The Mabul is Mei Noach. Noach, you didn't daven for the people. You didn't see yourself. You didn't understand your ability to make a difference here. You didn't see yourself as a partner. And again, I think it's a question we have to ask ourselves in all aspects of our Avodas Hashem. Am I just a worker trying to get the job done, to get my paycheck, to score a little Olam Haba? Or am I a person who says, this is a partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem finished the Malacha and He left the world for us. Hashem tied the top knots of the tzitzis, but He left the loose strings for us to finish the job. That's the challenge we have to ask ourselves. And that's the tragic lesson that we learned from Noach's failure to daven for his generation. But I want to go one step further. I have time to go one step further. Because it's difficult for us to understand how Noach could have failed so miserably. Because even if the Zohar is correct that Noach didn't daven for the generation, but it seems that Noach at least tried to offer advice to the generation. He tried to give tochachot, rebuke to the generation. Rashi says in source number 5 that when Noach is busy building his teva, for quite some time, it wasn't like he built the boat, jumped on the boat, and the mabul came and that was it. Noachim, to let people know what he was up to. So this description of Noach sitting in the corner, doing his own thing, not caring about anyone, is not entirely true. Noach gave drushes, and Noach told people there's a mabul coming, and they maybe thought he's the old man describing some apocalypse. Right? But he's trying. He was trying to rebuke the people. He was trying to guide them. Says Rashi on the word, Asei lecha tevas, har be revach vatzal lafanov. There's a lot of ways that God could have saved Noach. Why does he need to bother him with building this big boat? Lama yitrichu bebinyan zeh. Why trouble him? Says Rashi, kidei shiaruhu anche adora mabul, Osek ba meya v'esrim shana. Let the people see Noach spending 120 years building the boat. Vishol nosa, old man, what are you doing? What's this project? Vahu omer lahem, and he would say to them, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehevi mabul olam. Ulaya shuvu. Perhaps they will change their ways. Now, you could argue that Noach maybe didn't do this. Maybe this is what God wanted in building the boat. Maybe Noach was very selfish and he never had such a conversation with anyone. But I find that hard to believe because Chazal say that not only was this theoretical, that Noach did have the conversation with a lot of people. And yet what's so painful to think about, 120 years, can you imagine? Imagine I told you there's a town where there's some people, they're not such good people. They can use a lot of guidance in life. It's a big town. And I want you to go there and I want you to change the life of one person in that town. And thousands of people live there. I want you to make a difference that one person, when you walk out of that town, I want one person to come with you to say, this town's not for me. I need to find a better place to live. And imagine I give you 120 years to be Makariv one person. How many people is Noach Makariv in 120 years? A whopping zero. Who's on the boat? His family. That's it. The animals. You don't find one guy, one gal. There was not one person who Noach was able to inspire, said, you know what, this guy is right. It was raining and they still didn't get on the boat. How did he fail so miserably? How did Noach fail so miserably with 120 years of Musar Shmuzin? 120 years of drushes and shirim? How could it be not one person, his message didn't resonate with even one person? So hard to understand. So I once heard an explanation. It's really based on the Medrash, but I heard the explanation from Vitzal Radinsky. Now, Radinsky explained that if you look at the Medrash, it actually tells us a little bit about some of the Musar Shmuzin. It tells us how he began the speech. You know how Noach began every drasha? Noach was a very frustrated person, understandably so. He was very lonely in the world. And he was very upset to see the way that the world was going. So you know how Noach used to begin his speeches? He began every speech by calling the people idiots. Shotim, listen up, you fools. I want to tell you how to live your life. Needless to say, when you talk to a person like that, when you begin a Musar Shmuz, right, you are an idiot, let me tell you how to live a more meaningful life, you're not going to get a big crowd. People are not interested in hearing you talk to them in such a hurtful way. Noach was frustrated.
So Noach failed because he began every speech shoten. Rabbi Rudinsky from Muncie explained, who's the opposite of Noach? Who comes to a town that's just as bad, it's a place called Charan, and the people are just as evil, they're literally switching brides under the chuppah, a bunch of liars and cheats and ganavim, and he comes to a well, and he sees a bunch of lazy shepherds who are taking a triple lunch break that day, and he says to them, Chevra, what are you sitting around for? Get back to work. And you know what? And they respect him, and they like him, they engage him in conversation, and they listen to him. Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu comes to Charan, he comes to the well, complete strangers. Presumably Yaakov was a little bit different than these guys. And all of a sudden, Yaakov gets them motivated. And he's giving them mussar. And we don't find that they blew him off. They're engaged in conversation with him. They're giving him useful information. He says to them, Od hayom gadol. The day, there's still plenty of, what do you guys, bunch of bums. You're sitting around, why aren't you working? So he's giving them mussar. He's giving them real mussar. But he spoke to them in a way that it worked. Why? What was the secret of Yaakov Avinu? Vayomer lehem Yaakov. You don't have the pasuk on the page. You do have the page, pasuk on the page in front of you. I'm sorry. Source number 6. Vayomer lehem Yaakov. Achai. Yaakov begins the conversation with one magic word. My brothers. Brothers, we don't know you. Who are you? Yaakov comes into town, a total stranger. Holy brothers. It's still a little early for you to be, done for the day, no? But he called them brothers. And there was a point of connection there. And all of a sudden, the shepherds respond. They're interested in him. So when you start off by calling people idiots, 120 years, it could be he had great points after that. It could be he had a lot of wonderful insight. But when you start off negatively in that way, no one wants to listen to you. When you start off by saying, Achai, my brother, you could totally change the way that people listen to you. So Noach's, part of Noach's failure was his inability to communicate, not only to daven on their behalf, but his inability to show them that he believes in them. You can't call them shotim. Call them brothers and then give them the same mussar and they'll be makabel in it and you'll have to build the bigger teva to make room for everyone. But if you start off with the word shotim, it doesn't work. There's other examples of this, by the way, in the Torah. Esav wants to kill Yaakov. And yet, Yaakov shows up, ad gishto ad achiv, he bows down, ad gishto ad achiv, until he approaches his brother. Why does the Torah have to tell us that Esav is Yaakov's brother? Because Yaakov is trying to be ma'or, trying to awaken some of that brotherly love. Why does the Torah tell us that Shimon and Levi have a sister named Dina? Their sister Dina. We know who Dina is. We know it's their sister. Why does it say their sister? Rashi says, because the definition of a sister is someone who you'll do anything for. And that's what Shimon and Levi were prepared to do for their sister Dina. So we get a definition of a brother, a sister. It's the ultimate expression of love for a person. You're my brother. Yaakov says, you're my brothers. Why are you sitting around? And they listen to him. Yaakov is facing an Esav, wants to kill him, but when he touches that point called brother, ad gishto ad achiv, when he makes contact with his brother as a brother, all of a sudden he's not ready to kill him anymore. Or when Yosef goes to check on his brothers, as the pasuk emphasizes, and he's wandering around in the field, and the malach says to him, who are you looking for? And what does Yosef say? As achai anochi mavakish. Yosef knows the brothers don't like him. Doesn't he know he's setting himself up for trouble? But he thinks that if I can just keep saying brothers, 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 and focus on that connection, then we'll find a way to what? We'll find a way to reconcile our differences. It's a very powerful thing when you're able to speak to a person in that way. So it could be that part of the failure of Noach was his inability to communicate with the people. He didn't know how to talk to them in the right way. But it wasn't just the words that he was saying. Someone once shared with me, it was his own insight, a Jew who lives in Bergenfield where I live, came over to me last year, Parshas Noach, and he said, Moshe Tzvi, I want to share the following thought with you. And I loved it. And I saved it for a year, and now I'm sharing it with you. Here's what he said. He said, you know why Noach failed? It's not like the Zohar says that he didn't daven for the people. It's also true. It's not like this Medrash that Radinsky is explaining, this Mahalich, he called them Shotim as opposed to brothers. You know why Noach failed? He gave great Musar Shmuzim. Let's imagine he gave the best Musar Shmuzim. So you know why no one took Noach seriously? Because they knew, they could sense, that Noach doesn't believe in us. You know why? You know why? Because he was building a boat. If you think these people are really going to change, if you think there's potential that these people can change their ways, then you say to yourself, I'm not building a boat. There's not going to be a marvel. Because I believe you're actually going to change. You can tell people they need to change, they need to change, they need to change, or there's going to be a flood. But if you're building the boat, you're basically saying, I know you're not going to change. I don't actually believe that you're going to change. It was the body language of Noach as he's standing there with his hammer, putting together this boat out of Atzei Gopher, that said to the people, this guy doesn't even believe that we could change. And that was a terrible tragedy. Who's the opposite of Noach? And there's so much to develop here, because when it comes time to come back to the world, Noach is busy sending a Yonah from his boat. Right? The opposite of Noach is Yonah. Where do you see that Yonah is the opposite? Yonah's also sent to tell people they need to change. And you know what Yonah did? He ran away. He ran away from the mission. Second to last source. Vayakam Yonah, Perek Aleph of Sefer Yonah. Vayakam Yonah Livroach Tarshisha, Milifnei Hashem. He's running from God. He goes down to the port in Yafo, and he finds a boat on its way to Tarshish, and he pays, according to Chazal, not only for himself, but he pays for the whole boat. Vayered Ba Lavo Imam Tarshisha Milifnei Hashem. He's running from God. Why is he running from God? Why is Yonah running from God? Says Rashi in the final source. Umara Yonah Shalaratza Lelech Ninveh. Why is Noach refusing to go to Nineveh and telling them, do tshuva or else? Says Rashi Amar. Yonah said to himself, Ha'akum krovei tshuvahim. I believe that Nineveh will change. So, what's so bad about that? Let them change. But Yonah was scared, says Rashi, that if the people of Nineveh actually listen, so how is it going to look for Klal Yisrael, who didn't always listen to their Nevi'im, who encouraged them to change? So Yonah says, as a means of protecting Klal Yisrael, I'm running away from the mission. But the way this Jew in Bergenfield explained to me, and he painted an image that stuck in my head, so I'll share it with you. He said, when Yonah comes to Nineveh, after being spit out by the fish, having spent some time in the belly of a fish, being thrown overboard, and the picture that he painted, it's a funny image, but he says, Yonah comes to Nineveh, right? He's still dripping wet, he's covered in seaweed, and they say, where on earth are you coming from? And he starts to explain the story. I was supposed to be here earlier, but I didn't show up because, he starts to explain, I have a message for you, and I'm scared that, I know you're going to respond to the message, and I'm scared it's going to reflect badly for my own people, but here's the message. God wants you to do tshuva. Everything about Yonah running from that mission was his way of saying, I believe that you're going to do tshuva. And therefore, when the people see this Jew stroll into town, they don't know him, they don't know who he is, and he starts threatening them, your city's going to be overturned, but they see that he's dripping wet, and he's covered in seaweed, and he's just been spit out of a fish. They say, this guy actually believes in the message he's telling us, and he believes we actually can change. So he motivated them in the opposite direction. And that's part of the tragedy, again, of Noach, and it connects back to what Pinchas is saying. Are we all in terms of our belief in our own tefillah? Noach didn't daven. Noach didn't see himself as a partner. Are we all in when we say to someone else that you can do it? Does our body language tell a different story? Do our actions tell a different story? When we daven for Mashiach, do the actions, the choices that we make, the things that we do, does it reflect a reality, a belief in those ideas? Or again, are we like a worker who's just trying to go through the motions, to say the right things, to do the right things, to superficially express the right things? So I give us a bracha. We should learn. I feel guilty. I feel terrible. Spent the last 45 minutes, looking at the negative side of Noach. But again, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a glimpse, if Chazal gave us a glimpse into these things, if the Tzaddikim gave us a glimpse into these things, it's for us to learn something. And again, the challenge for each and every one of us is to see ourselves as partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That if Hashem gives you a mission, if Hashem gives you the right to be a partner with Him in creation, take that seriously. Take that seriously. Believe in the power of our actions. And believe that when we say something, it matters. And the way that we say something to others matters. There's a difference between a person who goes all in and a person who only expresses oneself superficially. So, Mir Tzashem, we should become the types of people who understand that opportunity and that gift of being partners with the Kaddish Baruch. Have a great day, Chodesh Tov. Thanks for coming.